And this is God's way.
Yeah.
This is how God gets us ready. And this is how God perfects His church. Amen. He's got preachers. Tonight, Brother Don Mead, who hails from Akron, Ohio, will be coming in just a minute. I met him a number of years ago and in Ohio, and I've heard him preach on a few occasions. And his preaching stays with you. It stays with you. And I heard him preach at a meeting one time. His whole title was three letters of one word, but he made it two syllables. And it was awesome. He preached on, duh. Yeah. Duh. Boy, what a message. It really was. Amen. And then I've heard him preach on a few other occasions. Amen. I'm glad I've got a place in the house of the Lord. I don't want to be a vagabond. I want to have a place where the Lord will meet with me and where I'm faithful to. Amen. And it's beautiful, the touch of God that comes on a dedicated man and what God will do with somebody who's willing to consecrate and give themselves to Him. Brother Don Mead, amen, is a man that has for many years preached the Word of God. He is known, as most preachers know after a while, what it is to go through many things. Amen. But he, as Job, has been able to come out of that, tried, and come out pure, and God is blessed. And I'm happy he's here tonight. When I heard that he was coming, it really did thrill my soul. You're going to be pleased, amen, with Brother Mead tonight. If you love the apostolic way is the right way. How many is ready for preaching? But it's not fair to leave it all to him. How many is going to preach with the preacher? Let's worship the Lord as Brother Mead comes.
Let's lift our hands and love the Lord again right now. Can we do it in Jesus' name? Give the Lord a good clap offering of praise. He's worthy with a shout of triumph. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness. God's been a good God to us. Children of men. And everybody said, praise the Lord. You may be seated. God bless you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Brother Hyler. I feel the Holy Ghost right now in the house. Anything could happen. We are right now sitting under a tremendous influence of preaching, anointed preaching. God spoke to us distinctly and directly and gave us clear note, certain sound. There was no confusion in God's direction. Amen. And I count it a great honor to be here. In this West Coast Conference, I want to give special honor to Pastor Von Morton. Amen. For his kindness, the invitation, the confidence for us to come and minister in this convention, for his extended hospitality. Amen. The accommodations, the gifts, the meals, just the friendship, the fellowship, and the warmth of brotherhood that I feel in this good man. I want to know I love him. I appreciate him. Thank you, Brother Morton. Thank you, Brother Morton. To all the men of God that are here and the saints of God, I give you honor tonight. Amen. It is my privilege to be assembled with you and to receive what God has for us in this place. I firmly believe that God is a wise master, and a wise master never wastes his servant's time. Praise the Lord. We're not just putting in time tonight. No, no. We're not marking time. We're not just putting in a period of our life and it's a space. But we're here for, I believe I could say, supernatural reasons. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And so I understand tonight that God is interested in helping us. And I want to somehow ask God to touch us in a special way. I feel the Holy Ghost so strong, so present here in this place. Amen. And I want the Lord to, in the next few minutes, to do whatever His will is to be done. Let that be accomplished. And I want to be sensitive to the Holy Ghost. I'm asking you to help me. I want us all to somehow be sensitive to the move of the Spirit and the Holy Ghost in this place tonight. Because if God has preeminence and has His way, then there's no telling what will happen in just the next few minutes of this convention. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So thank you again, Pastor and Morton and all the good men of God that are here. So many of you that I feel so blessed to be among. And I got to say a special thank you to the preaching that has already happened at this convention. Thank you, Brother Reagan, for that clear note last night. Does the banner still wave? Yes. Yes, it still waves. It's waving now. While we're here, yes, the banner still waves. Thank you for that timely, anointed message. And today was just, I mean, it was special today. Amen. I guess my favorite service at home is Sunday morning. And I don't have any trouble with morning church. Amen. I like it. I just do. Today, I was excited about coming to church this morning. And was so blessed to hear the priest, the anointed priest, word of the Lord. Amen. As Brother Adams delivered such a timely, soul direction, the message for us today. When I sit down at the King's table, when I go out into this world, I want the world to know that I'm living by conviction and not by preference. Thank you, Brother Adams. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And then, of course, good friend Brother Trevino. What a message. Oh, Lord, I wish all of my young people in Akron Apostolic Temple and my parents could have been in that session today to hear Brother Trevino preach about the arrow that needs to shoot straight. The preparation, the time it takes to know that when it's released, it's going to hit the mark. We have a tremendous responsibility to see to it that the next generation is prepared to do the work of God that He wants done in the time we have left to do it. Thank you, men of God. And then, of course, I'm anxious for the remainder of the convention, the conference. Amen. Tomorrow morning, I get to go to morning church again. Brother Abbott and Brother Dykes, I look forward to that sessions in the Word of the Lord again. And Brother Nathan Morton tomorrow night. I feel blessed just to be among God's people. Could you lift your hands and love Him one more time? Do it in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And I feel the Lord in this place right now. In Jesus' name. You have your Bible? Let's go to a verse of Scripture. Amen. If you would allow me to reference, amen, the Word of the Lord here right now. Amen. Praise the Lord. In Romans chapter 11, hallelujah. Verse number 21, chapter 11 of Romans. For if God spared not the natural branches, pay attention, take heed, lest He also spare not thee. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them which fell severity. But toward thee, goodness. If continue in his goodness. Otherwise, thou also shalt be cut off. Verse 23, and they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in. For God is able to graft them in again. Verse 24, for if thou wert cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? Amen. Everybody said, praise the Lord. God bless you. You may be seated in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We have a vast representation here tonight of nature in this convention. There is a very, very, very prominent manifestation of nature in the house tonight. Praise the Lord. And all of us brought our nature with us to church tonight. In fact, some of us spent a considerable amount of time preparing our nature to get to church tonight. Praise the Lord. And it looks like a lot of us have done a pretty good job. We got it down to a fine science. Nature has manifested itself, showing that it had been prepared and diligently prepared to be here and to be in this position tonight. And God, who sits high and looks low, watched all this nature make their way to West Coast Conference tonight.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. And God, who is, oh, he's awesome. He's, they sang tonight, it's all in him. He's everything. He fills all space. He's the mighty God, the everlasting Father. It's anything you need, it's in him. He's not just a God that's confined to nature, but he is supernatural. What a mighty, hallelujah. What a mighty God we serve. Woo. You know, I'm going to try my best to tell you a little how I felt. God, I told my wife this. I said, you know, I woke up at 5 o'clock this morning. She said, well, that's because you're on Ohio time. I said, no, the Lord woke me up this morning. Hey, man, I'm in California. I'm not in Ohio. The Lord woke me up this morning. And it was a strange thing, Brother Morton, but the Lord gave me a couple things to say. And so I said, you know, I just remember those. I said, oh, no. I'm not that good. I had to get up and go in the other room and not wake my wife if I could and just turn on the light and get my Bible back out and write down what he woke me up with so I could tell you what it was tonight.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God, who knows my nature, and God, who sees all this nature, would love for us to somehow focus in and plug in to something that's beyond nature. And to get it done, we're going to have to do something contrary to nature. Can I preach to you for a few minutes tonight on contrary to nature? I know my nature. The God who is far beyond nature wants to meet with somebody, wants to help somebody, wants to, he wants to talk to somebody, he wants to lift somebody, he wants to. If all he has to deal with is our prepared nature, it's not going to get done. Somebody is going to have to get contrary. Somebody's going to have to get God. Now, oh Lord, help me, Jesus. I know I'm the one thing standing between you and a banquet dinner, and I don't want to mess up your nature there. Hallelujah. I don't want to frustrate your nature. Hey, man, it happens about every Sunday. I got one or two that I frustrate their nature every Sunday morning. They get to looking at their watch and the clock. They get nervous about when I'm going to close or how many closes I'm going to have. And nature, they came prepared, you know. And nature kicks in about 11:30 and a quarter to 12. And they get real fidgety because they have a planned activity. Amen. For their nature. Praise the Lord, somebody. But I think we ought to overcome. Amen. The strong drive and practiced schedule of nature. Long enough to be contrary, long enough to see the goodness of the Lord do something here for somebody. That's not going to happen unless you get a little contrary to your nature here tonight. Praise the Lord. Let's clap our hands on the Lord and praise Him right now. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost coming in the house. Hallelujah. In St. Luke chapter 10, we have an answer to a question. Oh, man, if you ever want to know what the answer is, just look how Jesus answers the questions he was asked in the Word of God. And one time he gave such an answer, the Bible says that they durst ask him no more questions. They decided that session's over right now. But he was asked a question, and the man asked him, you know, because he was trying to justify himself, and Jesus knew that. He was wanting to know who his neighbor was. And so in the 10th chapter of the book of Luke, Jesus answered the question. And here's the little story, the answer that he gave. He said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. Half alive or half dead. He's in there somewhere. He's half dead. But the Bible says, and by chance, it wasn't planned, it was by chance, there came down a certain priest that way. And when he saw the half dying man, the man dying by the road, the Bible said he passed by on the other side. Verse 32 says, and likewise a Levite, when he was at that place, came and looked on him, and he, again, just passed him on by. The Bible says, on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, brought him to an inn, took care of him. And everybody said, praise the Lord. Now, you have a little scenario. You have an answer to a question. And Jesus said, a Jew coming from Jerusalem to Jericho ran into a problem in his journey, fell among thieves, and ended up on the side or in the road, the side of the road, half dead. Robbed, beaten, and left to die. In that position, the dying man was looking for any kind of help he could find.
Yeah, you're right.
And with much hope and excitement, he saw a rescue squad coming down the road.
Yeah.
Oh, this was a natural made rescue squad. Oh, this is a blessing. I mean, I'm in bad shape, but I'm going to be all right because look coming down the road.
Yeah.
The big red cross on the vehicle, the big yellow and the red lights flash, the siren going. And a priest is coming down the road.
Yeah.
Help is here. Oh, I'm so excited because what I see is I see a rescue vehicle come.
Yes. Yeah.
It was established that a priest was trained, and he was taught that in circumstances like this dying man had, he was help on the way. He was help if he was there. priest and this Levite had been trained and schooled and spent years. And when you saw them, they had what we would call a good confirmation. The confirmation was right. They had the uniform. They had the pedigree. They had, it was all just, I mean, it looked good. I'm dying, but hey, here comes some help. Brother, when you're laying on the side of the road and you're in trouble, it's a good thing to know you got a rescue squad headed your way. I'm telling you, it had to look good to the dying man to see the rescue vehicles coming down the road. But what looked like a rescue squad by nature. Was a disappointment as it passed on down the road. By nature, that was a rescue, that was an ambulance coming down the road. It had to be, I'm going to die, but look what's coming. Here comes an ambulance down the road. It looked like a rescue squad by nature, the priests and the Levites. Praise the Lord. These were men that should have been his friends. They were of his own lineage, of his own country, his own people. The Levite, the priests, the Jews said, surely I'll get help from these men. But the Bible said they just came, looked down, and passed on by. Disappointment hits. Now he was slighted by those that should have been his friends, who were not only men of his own nation and religion, one a priest, the other a Levite, but these were men of public character and station. They were men of professed sanctity, whose offices obliged them to tenderness and compassion. I mean, that's the way it was. They were not just some, you know, Johnny come lately and just went and rented them a uniform and, you know, I look like an ambulance. But no, they were men that were publicly characterized and obliged. If you saw them, you could depend on it. By their confirmation. They had perfect confirmation. Which means the external, the complete outside arrangement of the parts was perfect. They had the resemblance. They had the likeness. They had the stature. They had all the markings. They had the uniform. They had the display outwardly according to published and acceptable standards for such offices. It had to be a letdown to watch that ambulance come up, look at them, and just pull off. And leave them there to die by the road. I'm telling you what. We know by this meeting and by the churches you go to, we've already said, I'm glad to be apostolic. I'm glad to be Jesus' name. And when I go to church, I don't go there just to put in my time. I go there sometimes because I'm desperate. I can't wait for somebody who is in an official capacity to get up behind a pulpit and tell me what they say. Sick in body to walk up to the front and the man of God get that anointing oil out, put it on his finger and put it on your forehead, and by the word of God somehow pray faith and healing and watch God come down and do a miracle. But when I need a miracle and I need divine supernatural help, I don't want to go to somebody that looks like they got it on the outside. But there ain't nothing on the inside. I want to go to somebody. They may not have a Doctor of Divinity degree. They may not have a college education. They may not dress in the finest tailored clothes. And they may not know how to put your words together. But they know how to touch God. Know how to touch God. You may be seated. Woo! The unfortunate Jew, beaten, robbed, left for half dead. To him, help was coming without question when he saw the priest and the Levite. But see, their disposition did not measure up, oh Lord, to their confirmation. So the dying man was ignored and avoided by what should have rescued him. Oh yes. We have a mandate from God. Amen. To be led by the Spirit of God. To be called the sons of God. While he's laying there disappointed, along comes this scraggly Samaritan. Confirmation ain't right. He's not excited now. The ambulances, they done went on down the road. And this guy coming now, forget it. He's just a scraggly Samaritan. And I'm a Jew. And everybody knows the Jews, the Samaritans, we don't have no dealings with one another. I ain't even going to holler for help when he goes by. I'm not even going to wave my flag or my hand if I can get it up. I'm just going to go, I'm dying, this is it. But wait a minute, there's nothing. No, that's just an old scraggly Samaritan. He ain't been to our schools. He ain't graduated from our seminaries. He ain't learned our songs. He ain't learned our dress style. He hasn't learned our language. He doesn't know. He's just an old scraggly. Matter of fact, to him, it'd be like you laying down there and saying, oh my God, Dr. Kevorkian is coming down the road.
Come on.
All right. Wait. No! This is over. It's all over. Forget it. This is the last man coming down. I'm dying. See, there was extreme prejudices between the Jews and the Samaritans. They had no dealings with each other. By nature, this Samaritan looked like a mortician. He looked like a mortician. Not a rescue vehicle, not a doctor, not, no. There is no hope here. On the outside, he said, I don't stand a chance. Where I come from, if they ain't out of a certain school and got a certain pedigree and they don't have a certain name and they don't go to a certain brand, they ain't going to work. This man, I can't say nothing about him. It's going to help me in my trouble. But contrary to nature. Oh, hallelujah. Contrary to nature. Whew, the Bible says he sees the Jew. He sees the man and he goes over to him. And the man can't believe it. He says, hey, do you know what you're doing? It don't matter. You're dying. And I'm going to help you right now. I'm going to bind up your wounds. I'm going to pour oil and wine in. I'm going to get you back on your feet. I'm going to tell y'all something. God can do a whole lot more if we get more contrary to our nature. Walk into church and I'm not praying with that person. I'm not praying with that person. I'm not taking no time. Oh, hey, wait a minute. Oh, where are you at? Where the Lord sent a rescue squad and picked you up. We're so big on confirmation and pedigree that we miss the supernatural. You know, I don't want to be open up too repetitious or something, but I want to tell you something. I was blessed, brethren, to be raised in an apostolic church. With an apostolic, some of you got to know my father before he died. I lost him first this year, and what a tragic loss that was. But boy, I can almost feel his presence in this building. If it's such a, if there's a ghost in the field, he's probably in the house somewhere tonight. Praise God. Woo! And I'm not going to disappoint him here or not here. Praise God. Hallelujah. Woo! He put it. But I'm telling you, my dad and my mother, they raised me in an on this kind of platform. But my dad said one time, he said to my mother, he said, you know what? By nature, we ought to just ought to die a coal miner in the coal fields of Virginia. But I want to get up and get out of this place. I'm taking my two boys and we're going to another city. I don't want to raise them.
Come on.
Like the rest of my family's been raised.
My.
God led him up to Akron, put him in an apostolic church, and man, we got the blessing of all that. Now, as a boy, you young people, as a boy, I was mesmerized. I was just awed at apostolic activity. I won't forget it. Our old pastor, I told men today, I said, our church will be 70 years old next year. 70 years. It was started in 1939 by the late elder Bishop Victor Traxel. My dad baptized him and my mother, and I got the Holy Ghost, and he baptized me at 5 years old, and I got the Holy Ghost, and he's still my pastor. And then my dad, when he got older, he turned on my dad, and man, that was a great transition. I'm the third pastor in almost 70 years of one apostolic church. Man, we ain't got to worry about it. I ain't got to worry about all those ones before me. I just got one thing to worry about, that I'm still building on the foundation they put in there. That's what I got to worry about. Praise the Lord. But as a boy, I got mesmerized. I'd watch my pastor preach, and he had a way of preaching, brethren, that I said, I'm gonna preach like that. So what we've done for one of our major entertainments in my house was play in church.
Yeah.
We didn't have any PlayStations and Xboxes. And
yeah.
We just didn't have any televisions. No, we didn't have any videos. We didn't have, I didn't think we had a radio. Finally got a record player, but you had to crank it up to get it to run. Then it wind down, you had to crank it again. I remember that. He got that at a salvage place. Had the big old round, looked like plates, black things you put on there. But anyhow, I said, you know what? I'm going to be a preacher. We didn't have a lot of toys and a lot of things. We just had church and going to church and going to see a living. I said, hey, I got my brother, and I had another sister and a brother about that time. You know, there's more coming, but that's what we had right then. And I said, we're going to have church. I'm the pastor. I am the pastor. Just settle that right now. No, you ain't voting me in. And you ain't voting me out, right? And I was a pastor for two reasons. I was the oldest, and I could whip any of them. That qualified me to be the pastor. Had seniority, and I could whip them. Now that's changed later on in life. But at that time, wow. So I said, you know what? If I'm going to be the pastor, I got to look like the pastor. And I got to get all this uniform on right. And I'm just, 5 year old boy, 6 years old. And so I called my congregation to have church, and we had a little utility room. And we lived in a renovated garage. That's what our house was at that time. Back when we had to go out, we had to pump the water outside, and the bathroom was outside. And it was a kind of a modern one in that day, but it was out anyhow. Didn't have no heat or air conditioner, but we had one. And so, let's go. So I just set them all down. We had a little, found some buckets and pans and made seats out of them. I said, sit down. We'll have church. And I said, I got to get ready for church. Now, my pastor, to me, here's what I know about. He always wore a necktie, But he wore a necktie that was so wide, you could put your whole Bible study on it if you want to put your notes on. I'm telling you. I thought it was the breastplate of righteousness. Hallelujah. They talked about breastplate. I said, man, my pastor's got one. I'll get me one. Hallelujah. Dad'd be working. I'd go get that tie, and I'd wrap that tie around my neck, and it'd hang down to my knee, way down my feet. I said, oh, no, it's got to get it up higher than that. I said, I got up to about to where my knees was. But there was a external trademark to my pastor, Elder Traxel. When you get to preaching, you knew when he's preaching good because his tie would get to swinging like that. So I'd get up in front of my congregation, and I'd start doing this. I said, y'all hold on, get ready to preach. Get that tie. swing. Amen. When he got the swing, I said, yeah, I say it to you. Oh. And I go to preach. Yeah, my brother say, you ain't no preacher. I said, wait a minute. I stopped swinging. He said, you ain't no preacher. I said, you sit down. I call him rebellious. I said, you need the Holy Ghost. So I didn't have it either. I was pastor. You're pastor, you can say what you want to say. I told my sister, I said, now you say amen. I want to hear amen out of you. And when she said, I said, say amen. She said, amen. Well, that's what my pastor said. He said, say amen. You said amen. I said, did you believe it? I don't care if you believe it or not. When he said, you say amen, you said amen. So I went through all that. And man, we had some good church. I'd rebuke them sometimes. I remember that somebody talking about rebuking, you know, and exhorting and all that stuff. I learned that when I was just 5 years old. I got that rebuking part down good. So I learned to rebuke them. And I had one brother that I knew he had the devil. I said, you know what? We're going to cast the devil out of you tonight. So I went and got, Mom had a big old jar of cooking oil. It wasn't olive oil, it was cooking oil. And I slipped in there and got it out, you know. I said, start praying, saints. We're going to cast the devil out of Danny tonight. Now, he still got it in him. We never did get it out, but I sure worked on it. I promise you that's right. I said, let's all gather around the front. Let's gather around now. Let's all gather around the front. I got him right in the middle. I said, okay. I said, we're going to cast the devil out of you, boy. He said, you ain't no preacher. I said, wait a minute. I get But if I got my tie swinging, they just might as well be quiet. I'm qualified then, because that's the way my pastor done it. Yeah. Amen. And so I took that oil, brother. I said, okay, here we go. Make sure Mom wasn't too close. So she said, brother, you didn't waste no food in my house. I get ready to wait, but I get ready to do something spiritual. I put that thing on. I said, everybody close your eyes and pray. And I just start pouring oil, brother. And I know what Aaron was talking about. It dripped down on off onto his clothes and on his face, off his chin. I baptized him in cooking oil. My mama sent me there. He said, you should have put a fire to him. If I'd have thought of it, I would. Lord, have mercy. He said, it's in my eyes. I said, come out of him in Jesus' name. I preached a good message today. He came home from work. He said, what'd you preach? I said, I preach hell hot. I said, I preach you got to be baptized in Jesus' name and get the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues or you're going to hell. What a preach. He said, how can you preach that to somebody? You ain't got the Holy Ghost yet yourself. I said, Dad, hold on. I'm getting it. It's coming. Give me a break. Listen, we had more fun. That was some of my best pastoring days. It was. That was some of my best pastoring days, gentlemen. I thought it was rough. I didn't know what rough was. I said, man, I'm fighting these devils in my house, and they won't say amen when I tell them to say amen. They can't get the devil cast out. And I had Terry up here with my hands on, trying to pray through the Holy Ghost. He'd get mad, so I put my hands up. Don't you knock my hand off your head. I put it back on his head. In Jesus' name. He said, you need it too. I said, in Jesus' name. I'm pastor. Don't tell me what I need. We play church. We practice. I said, now we're going to sing. All we have is a tambourine, and half of the tambourine timbres, whatever they are, timbrels, is gone. Somebody done beat them off. I said, all right, Terry, you play the tambourine. I said, and play it right. Our pastor would say, he said, you're going to play it right. I said, I just mimicked everything I heard. And so 2 or 3 years went by, and I'm still trying to get to it. I said, Dad, I think I'm a preacher. He said, son, you don't even know what preaching is. I said, but Dad, I'm doing it just like out of tracks on you. He said, son, you ain't no preacher. Man, I'm so disappointed because I go get that tie on. I get my Bible out. I get my congregation in there. I sing the right songs. Man, I preach the same thing I heard preached. Try to cast a few devils out, heal a few sick. Try to perfect my church. I want the perfect church. That's what I want. I wanted my church to look right. So I practiced and I worked on it. And I practiced and I worked on it. I practiced and I worked. And I started working on the confirmation. Had the tie. Got one of my dad's suit coats on. And I rolled the sleeves up because they hung way down past my hands. I just rolled the sleeve up and try to keep it up because you had to have a coat on, you know. Only I did, you know, the closest thing I had to a white shirt was a white t-shirt, but that's the best I had at that time. But I made the best. So anyhow, I was learning how. I wanted to get it right. But Brother Martin, I went to church. I said, you know what? I watched everything that went on.
Yeah.
I said, I'm going to be like that.
Yeah.
Let me just fast forward here a little bit. I'm not 5 anymore. I got the Holy Ghost now. And then I got a call to preach. I'm 16 years old. And more than a call to preach, I got a general license from an organization. I said, hey, Dad, look at this. He says, son, that paper don't mean a thing. I said, oh, wait a minute. Look at there. Assemblies of the Lord Jesus Christ all across it. It's got a seal on it. It says, I'm qualified. He said, you ain't qualified to do nothing. Hurt my feelings. Well, I can't go through all that. Bless his memory. He said, no. So finally got the chance to preach a youth service, and he said, okay, you're going to preach a youth service. Well, sir, there were some saints in the church that was acting up, you know, and I didn't think Dad was doing a good job of kind of taking care of it. I said, I need to help Dad out. I know how them old preachers done it. Man, I practiced that when I was 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. So I got that. I said, boy, they're going to get it tonight. I'm going to clean some clocks now, brother. I'm not in the utility room now. I'm in the church house. I got a suit and a tie to fit. Hallelujah. And here I am. And so I opened up. I read my little Old Testament. I said, bless God. And my dad just stood up. Bless God. Let me tell you folks something. And Dad stood there watching me. I mean, it went over like a flock of dogs. Somebody said, I didn't have no anointing. Nobody responded. They folded their arms and sat on me. And I mean, turned me completely off. I'm preaching, I said. They didn't think I was doing anything. I said, I'm preaching. They still didn't think I was doing anything. And Dad said, son, you wasn't doing anything. He knew how to hurt my feelings. More ways than one. But I looked like a preacher. I acted like I was a preacher. The confirmation looked right. And probably when I walked up to the pulpit that night, somebody out there thought, oh God, I need help tonight. And instead of help, they got a whooping. From a little old snotty nose, green behind the ears, wanting to be a preacher. So my dad set me down. He says, I'm setting you down. He set me down. He said, you're set down. I said, Dad, I ain't had... Nope, you're set down. So he told me what I'd done. He said, you know what, son? He said, you have watched preaching all your life, and God's got a call and touch in your life, but you ain't never going to help nobody until you get your disposition to match your confirmation. Woo, Jesus. He said, there's folks out there tonight who are looking for a rescue squad or an ambulance or some help from God, and they saw you as hope, but when you passed them on by and just ignored their need, he said, they were disappointed. Don't ever, ever do that again. I'll never forget it. I haven't forgot it to this day. Praise the Lord, somebody. See, we major so much on the pedigree and the confirmation. And we've got a world that's in trouble. folks come to our churches as the saints, and we all come sometimes. And saints, it's not just platform, it's in the pew too. God called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, and He wants you to be sensitive to the Holy Ghost. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Now, let me hurry here real quick, please. Old scraggly Samaritan came. Looked like a mortician or a Dr. Kevorkian, but he was the one that had the help for the man that needed help. I get a little tired of people that major. And listen, please, I don't want to qualify everything. But you know, it's mandatory that we have an apostolic, I mean a real apostolic, amen, confirmation. We ought to look apostolic. We ought to dress apostolic. We ought to be holy, dress holy, talk holy, act holy. I mean enough. Be like a neon sign flashing off of us. We are apostolic. We are holiness people. We are modest. We are separated from the world. We want that distinction. I don't want a question. I want the distinction that I am not part of the world. I want to be separated. I want that to be distinctly known. Praise the Lord. But if all I do is practice the perfecting of the structure and practice the perfection of my appearance and never give attention to my disposition, I'll be like the Levite and the priest that gave some hope to a dying man but never reached out to him. I'd rather be an old scraggly Samaritan. I'd rather not have all and be all polished, but I'd rather have something on the inside. But somebody needs a touch of God. They know we can reach out. Come on, somebody, we can reach out and touch it.
Heal all of us up here.
Now, let me just show you this real quick here. The Bible gives us a lot of help. A lot of help, and I'm glad for all the help. But in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16, Paul said, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law." Then he gave us a list of what the flesh manifests. Man, it's in there. I mean, it goes all the way through the list from adultery, fornication, down through idolatry and hatred, seditions, heresies, drunkenness, revelings. And then he says, and such like. He said, "I'm going to tell you right now, I've told you before, if that's the way you look and that's the way you do, you shall not inherit the kingdom of God." And if you're in Christ, he said in verse 24, "you will have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. And if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." You know, God knew the nature of the Gentiles, how they'd done things in a big way. He knew us. And he wants us to worship him in a big way. Spirit and in truth. You know, God's not waiting for our intelligence, our testimony, or our talent to ferment. God doesn't need our fermented intelligence. He doesn't need our fermented talent. He doesn't need our fermented testimony. I just want to be what God is looking for. Let me make a little comparison here real quickly. But you know, animals of great strength and size are appreciated for their structure. They really are. And their appearance. But they're also appreciated for their good disposition, their temperament, their nature, their management or control. Praise the Lord. Amen. An elephant. Tremendous, huge, tons of animal. C.R. Free said one time, said an elephant has hooves like manhole covers. Man, the hoof of an elephant is like a manhole cover. It's just huge and heavy. Big animal, strength and size. But what if an elephant had the disposition of a chihuahua? Man, you wouldn't get close to it. Y'all know what chihuahuas are. Them little dogs that you can just kind of grab in one hand and squeeze them. Just, they die, you know. They're not too much for size and structure. But do they ever have a disposition? They're going to tear you up. And I don't like dogs too well. I got chased by one when I was a boy and about eat up by it. And I said, you know what? I just never did like dogs too well. But I went to a house to visit somebody had a chihuahua. Here, come at me. I said, I just kicked a snot out of you. You get to... Yeah, you yap. I'm big enough just to step on you. Cut your yap off. But if an elephant had the disposition of that chihuahua, you know, I appreciate that elephant is in numbers, you know, around the zoo. And sometimes we went to a place where the kids get grandkids, go up and just pet the elephant, even set them up on the elephant, you know. That's my grandbaby, you know, just whatever, my kids. Wow. But if that elephant had a chihuahua disposition, I wouldn't let them get close to it. One stomp on that manhole cover on the bottom of their hoof would, woo, pulverize any one of us. Amen. God help us, because we have been blessed to have structure and to have size. And we have, oh God, we have the doctrine, we have the message, we have the standards, we have, oh, we have sober revelation, we have the answer. God forbid that we mess it all up. By allowing our old nature to come out in us. I think what we need, folks to say, you know what, I'm going to tell you, you're not going to get out of this dealing with your nature deal in this life. Paul said, oh, wretched man that I am. Who's going to deliver me from my nature? Every time I turn around, I got to deal with my own nature. When I would do good, evil's present. That which I would, that I don't, but you know. So. Oh, the thanks be to God, he said, who giveth us victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, disposition makes me usable or unusable. Now, I have learned with the help of the Lord and a lot of preaching to somehow be more alert to disposition than I am size and structure sometimes. Well, we got a big church over here. Well, you know, I'm glad. There's nothing wrong with that. But if I go there, I'm not really interested in how big your church is. I want to go in there and check out the disposition. And if that's not right, then I'm not really impressed with the structure. If the nature ain't right. Well, somebody say praise the Lord. And you know, one of the departments we have a lot of trouble with in my life, pastoring, and even when I was in the utility room pastoring, I had this problem with them, and brothers, is the music department. And I can say this, I play a little music, not in here like you folks do, but I try to play a little bit of music, and so I've been involved with that somewhat in my life. But sometimes, you know, I love talented music. I love it. Almost to a fault. But you know what, we finally got to where, I mentioned, in our church for many years, I was the first string, second string, third string, fourth string organ player, keyboard player. I was all of them. I played it to start the service. I played it song service. I played it for the offering. I played it for the reading of the opening scripture. I read at the organ. I had to. And then I played it for the altar call. And just, that's the way it was. But the Lord blessed us to where more talent came in. I think right now, I think I'm about the sixth string organ player in the church. I'm on the bottom now. Now, don't offend me. But every now and again, I go over to my musicians and I want to check out their disposition.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes they get on there and well, they can get with it. Wrong. Crank it down, Lord, I'm telling you. Whew. Got this one young man, he can hit that Hammond organ in such a way, makes me want to shout, whether there's no shout in me or not, just woo. My God, I want to get with it. If you do that three times, we won't have to preach tonight. Hallelujah. Boom. Get that Leslie. Boom, 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 boom. That's a good sound. Praise the Lord. had a young man come up one time. He just jumped up there, got in that door for me. He cranked. I said, "Look." I said, "Ho. Go sit down.
Yeah.
I'm going to do to you what my daddy done to me in our prison. Go sit down." And he gave me this look like this. What did I do?
Yeah.
He looked around like to the saints and, "Hey, somebody, anybody going to feel sorry for me? How's this going to work? I've been the main one to practice with the. How are you going to have church? Sit down." So he didn't like it, but he had to go sit down. I said, "Well, while I'm over here, I'll check out some more." Went to the bass player. I said, "Do you like what I just done?" I said, "You better answer me, because I'm getting ready to set you down."
Yeah.
And I said, "Look over at my son's a drummer. Some of y'all know Boo. And he sits behind a cage. I just went to the cage last, looked inside the cage." I said, his eyes got big like, "What's wrong?" I said, "I'm just, everything okay?" Amen. You know, now you say, "Well, how are we going? If you settle all down," I said, "Well, I know one thing. If I got to settle all down, we'll go back to it like we did in 1955. We didn't have a piano player. We didn't have an organ. All we did was come to church, had a good old prayer meeting, and got to sing a cappella, beat a tambourine, brother." And we sang that song when the saints began to pray for the Lord to have his way. Somebody said, "What are you going to do?" Somebody, I said, "My mother, she ever done one, well, she just a minute, the one of the best things she ever did, she forced me to learn to play a piano good enough to play it in church, that's all. She took Dad's hard-earned money and bought me piano lessons when I was about 10 years old, put me on a bus, sent me downtown Akron, and by myself, at 10 or 11, gave me $3 and said, 'Go, here's your piano lesson money.' And I wanted to buy a hamburger or something with it." She said, "You're getting a piano lesson with that. You get you a green bean sandwich before you leave. Y'all ever hear of green bean sandwiches? I raise on them. She fished green beans in with me. We make sandwiches out of them, brother. I tell you, it was good. I like them now. I vowed I'd never eat one when I got old. And now I just love to get a hold of some good old green beans, brother, one more time. But let me tell you something. I went down there and I learned to play piano. Learned to play the piano. I could play in church. Thank God. I didn't want to do it, but she said, "You're going to do it. And you ain't wasting our money either. Had to practice an hour a day. I hated every minute of it. Because when I went to practice, my brothers would say, 'We're going to go play basketball. You got to stay and play the piano.' I said, 'Shut up. I rebuke you in Jesus' name.' Tried my best to keep it going. Hallelujah. 3 years. Never get out of tell this one. It's just kind of, I just kind of thought of it. I want to throw it in, okay? Now I got to say, "No, I'm smarter than my mom don't know music, so I'm being the one trained to do music." And so I got to play. I got to what I didn't like my piano teacher's lesson he gave me. I had an uncle from down in Virginia. He was just an old coal miner. He had about a sixth grade education, but he could play a guitar, Brother Martin. He could evermore just take an old flat top guitar and make it sing. So he came up and he says, "Hey, Don, so let's play a song." I said, I can't. He said, "What do you mean you can't play a song? How long have you been taking lessons?" I said, 2 years. He said, "Let's play a song. What do you want to play?" He said, "Let's play When the Saints Go Marching." I said, "I ain't learned that yet." I learned one song, gospel song, hymn, and the name of it, maybe you all remember, Standing on the Promise. Now, let me tell you something. When the piano player in our little church, Elder Traxel's piano player, moved off to New Jersey, by default, I became the piano player at 12 years old. Nobody played. I said, "Now let me tell y'all something. It's going to be all right. Because I know one song. Every song service we sang, Standing on the Promises." Oh, they got so tired of standing on the promises, they wanted to run on them instead of saying. My uncle said, "What do you mean you can't play? I'll fly away." I said, "I ain't learned that yet." He said, "You know where G is?" I said, "Right there." He said, "You know where a C note is?" I said, "Right there." "D note?" He said, "Now play all three together." And he taught me a G chord. He said, "I just hit that a few times. Bump, 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 bump." Now he said, "While you're doing that, is there a G note down there?" I said, "Yes." Yeah. He said, "Kick your finger. Bump, 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 bump." Now, let's go. You got to strum that guitar. Some glad morning when there's life. Bum, 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 bum. Hey, man, this sounds pretty good. He said, now, he said, we can't stay right there. We got to learn one more. You know, we got to learn a C chord. He taught me C chord and he taught me D chord. He said, I want to teach you three chords, son. I don't know what you pay that Yankee downtown to teach you a piano. I'm going to give you a free lesson today. You'll remember the rest of your life. And ladies and gentlemen, he did. He taught me how to play key. I said, hey, this church is going to be, we're going to have revival now. I'm going to go back. We're going to stand on the promises. I'll fly away, oh glory. And he wasn't in church. He's just an old sinner boy, but he could pray again. And so anyhow, went there and I said, you know what, this is great. So learn that, learn so anyhow. But when it came time for me to pastor, and I was the music, my wife was a song leader, and sometimes she had a lead testimony service, and sometimes I let her take prayer requests. Never did let her preach, I don't think. But anyhow... You ever preach? No, I don't think you did. Well, I'm getting way off track here. But the whole thing is this. But when it came time to set down these talented people whose spirit wasn't right, I said, I know one thing, I'll get over and blame myself. And so I did. I said, man, it ain't quite as good as that. I said, hey, it don't have to be good, it's got to be right. We're not in a talent show. We're not in entertainment. We're in here to get a move of the Holy Ghost. And God ain't going to bless us. It ain't right. It's got to be right. I told the musicians, I tell singers, I tell saints, I tell preachers in my church, if you're going to do something for God, you better be contrary to your own nature. And let God get a hold of you. Don't come in here acting like you guys unless you've been to a prayer room and you really got it. So I told him, I said, it's not what you know outside. You can be the best and look the best, but if you ain't got it going on, if you can't get your nature under control, then you're not usable. I said, you're not usable. To your nature. See, my dad wasn't a musician, but he knew nature, brother. I was going to tell you about my mother. You asked me to. I got to finish it. I couldn't line y'all up. Let me finish the story right now. I was playing the piano, practicing one day, and I learned I'll fly away, learn them three keys. I said, you know what? I ain't doing that old lesson that guy gave me. I'm going to kick it in. I'm going to play some chords. I'm going to practice some runs. I'm going to get good on this. And my mother's in the kitchen fixing supper, or dinner, we call it up there, supper down the south. You know. But anyhow, she's fixing, and I said, she don't know. I'm just trying to carry on, man, get me some little licks, and trying to do a little Floyd Kramer, you know, a little lick on it. And she didn't even know who Floyd Kramer was. I didn't know either, just heard somebody play. I like the way it played. And so I'm working on it. All of a sudden, something happened to me. Out of nowhere, a tsunami come through the room. Ladies and gentlemen, I said, oh my God, what happened? My mama standing there, had an apron on. She works. I'm going to tell you one thing, son. I may not be a piano player, but I know when you're doing it right and when you're doing it wrong. And right now you're doing it wrong. And you start the clock all over. I done played. Practice 45 minutes. You're going to play it another hour. She started my timer all over again. And she said, now stay on that lesson. I didn't think she knew anything about it. You know what? It wasn't that she knew the music. She knew the spirit.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I'm going to tell y'all something. We practice the lesson. And we practice the experiment. We're all confirmation preacher. You can't touch me. Look at me, preacher. Okay, that's fine. But I want to know, what's your nature? How is it? Oh, I got to hurry here. How is it? You know, you can be tough and hard on the outside, but you better learn to have a little compassion. The Levite priest had it all extra, didn't have no compassion. The old scrappy Samaritan, he didn't have it up too much on the outside, but boy, I tell you what, he had compassion and saved the man. I wrote this note down, I've had it for years, because Verbal Bean said it, and I wrote it down. He said, you cannot stand for truth and be hard at the same time. And I quote him, but I don't mind quoting him because I heard him. You cannot, he said, you can't. He said, you've got to be sensitive to the Holy Ghost. You can know the Bible and quote it to the front to the back. But if you can't reach out to somebody that needs help and get your nature under control,
oh, preach it.
You'll never do the will of God. God will never get any glory out of what you do. Somebody say, praise the Lord. You know, one man said, we need to show some manners coming in and going out of the house of God. I ain't got time for that. There's some manners even involved, brethren, in closing a meeting. We're getting ready to close this service. And there's some manners involved. Now, what your nature's saying, hallelujah, banquet, here we come. That's natural. That's called natural. But I'm going to ask y'all to do something unnatural. And be contrary to your nature. Well. No. Let me give you a couple of instances here. Paul said, well, Genesis 5:24 says, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Now, he's a natural man. He's walking with God naturally. Watch me. Been doing this for 365 years. So, man, that's no, that wasn't a long time. He had a boy that lived 969. He's a young man. 365 years going back to walking with God. 365, here he is, walking with God. And all of a sudden, something supernatural happened. Now, nature says, when you get done walking today, you get done with church, you go home. He said, you know what, I think I'm going to do something contrary to nature today. I'm not going home. I think I'm just going home with God today.
Yeah.
No, you can't do that. We didn't learn that in Bible school. We didn't learn that in the seminary. We didn't learn that in Sunday school. No. You know what? I think I'll just go ahead and have a little faith right now. Hey, God, I know it's time to dismiss the church and you send me back. Now, how about me just going on with you today?
Yeah.
And the Bible says, and Enoch was, and he was not. For God, supernatural God, awesome God, contrary to nature God, well, God took him. That's what my Bible said. And I said, praise the Lord. Well, I'll give you one more. In 2 Kings, it talked about another deal, and it came to pass as Elijah and Elisha went on and they were talking. I mean, they've been doing this for quite a while. Walking and talking. And all of a sudden, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire and come right down and split them apart. Parted them asunder, the Bible said. Now, wait a minute. I've seen chariots and horses, but this is not a natural chariot or natural. No, it's not. What you're seeing is contrary to nature. But that's what we need. We just don't need the external walk and talk. We need something else. We need to somehow be a little contrary to our own nature and let God do something supernatural. The Bible said he took Elijah and went up by a whirlwind into heaven. Ladies and gentlemen, he never came back. Praise the Lord, somebody. And what I liked about Elisha was this. When he asked Elijah, what do you want from me? He said, man, I'd like to have a suit. Where do you get your suits made? Man, you look so sharp. I just look like you preachers of that. That tie. Oh, my Lord. Let me see. Let me just look real. You don't mind me. Oh, yeah, that's what I need. Where do you get that? And then the shoes. And I can tell you some stories. The shoes. And wow. What do you want from me? Open up the car. Oh, my Lord. If I could just get a T-Bird like Brother Garrett, just, you know. I just know he happened to have one or had one. But the whole thing is, if I could, and we look at things. No. What do you want, Elijah? All I want, Elijah, is a double portion.
Yeah.
I can care less about the structure. I don't want your big church. And some people just hang around for structure. I said in the way, young preachers, hear me. You shouldn't be sitting in the wings because you're waiting on somebody to hand you a structure and a facility and all the externals. You understand, God, I want a double portion of that man's spirit, his disposition.
Get ready for those
musicians. Get ready. Amen. You know, to me it's pitiful when you can't get some folks' attention unless you're preaching against something. God ain't always preaching against something, and we do that sometimes. I hate to think that the only thing I understood from God was a rebuke. I'm gonna clean their clock. Let me go clean their clock. Well, you don't need a constant cleaning out if you're living right. Boy, preacher, clean my clock again. Don't be bragging. What are you bragging about? Well, he cleaned my clock. He got on my case. Why don't you live where you don't have a case to get on? A clock to clean. Why don't you get a double portion of the man's spirit? Let God do something supernatural instead of always something natural in your life. Somebody shout, praise the Lord. Maybe say that I'm going to read this, and I think this is so neat right here. So I'm going to ask you right now in just a couple minutes to do something contrary to nature. Praise the Lord. Paul said to the Corinthian church, let me get to it here real quick. I think I got it marked right here. Yeah. Woo, I like this. Hallelujah to God. Paul told the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians 15, he said, hey, behold, I want to show you all a mystery. This is going to be phenomenal. This is supernatural. I'm going to show you a mystery. I always like mysteries. Show you a mystery. He said, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet of God shall sound. And something very contrary to nature is going to happen. I couldn't help it. Just the other day, I went into the mausoleum where they put my dad. You know, some of y'all were there. Thank you for coming and helping us in January. I went in there in that old mausoleum. I looked up there, and there's that little slot in the wall where they put my dad's body. I saw his name up there. I said, Dad, I said, it's about time for something unnatural to happen. I said, Dad, these folks been stuck in all these ground graves and mausoleum slots. But I said, if there ain't nobody else in this graveyard but you, the died in the faith. Paul said, I'm going to show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all... For this corruptible, he said, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. This corruptible must put on incorruption. Mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, mortal immortality, then shall be brought to pass the same. Death is swallowed up in victory. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Then Paul said to the Thessalonians, I would not have you be your brother concerning them which are asleep. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. What we need to do is, there's so much nature in us, we need somebody to be contrary. I've got folks that have their They go to church. Their nature is to be late at church. Their nature is to miss prayer meeting. Their nature is to stay home every time they got any reason to stay home. There's folks that their nature is not to clap their hands, not to worship. They're too tired. They got arthritis. They worked all day. They got school all day. I'll tell you, they got more reasons than you can think of. Natural reasons. But nobody needs to be contrary to nature. Come on, somebody. Sang a song, said, I went to a meeting one night, and my heart wasn't right, but something got a hold of me. Woo! Don't you like to go to church when you just go natural, but all of a sudden something supernatural happens? Let's stand and give God some praise. Hey, right now! I wish you'd do this. If you would just get contrary to your nature for just 5 minutes here tonight, 10 minutes, I'm not after 2 hours, just a few minutes. If you just turn loose and get cut, your nature says, I'm too tired, I'm hungry, I don't feel like it, we've had a long day, had a long church. I don't care. Your nature wants to check out. But why don't you tell your nature, you ain't checked out. I gotta get what God.